It's a privilege to speak about the vision of the kingdom. And so let's first have Matthew chapter 16, verse 28 read, please.
Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Over.
If you can speak a little louder, Brother Miro, I will not know just when you have finished with the translation so I can proceed.
Okay. Just a minute. Well, I'm. I have a. We have now a different. You can. You know, a sentence by sentence, and. Can somebody say to Brother George that he must choose the English channel?
Brother George.
Okay.
Please.
Now I can hear you.
You will have to check down. There's an option of more on Zoom, and you choose interpretation so that you select the English channel, and you will be able to hear from Brother Miroslav.
At the first advent, Jesus was all the time teaching about the kingdom. He taught his disciples to pray, Thy kingdom come. Please read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Okay, I just want to know if you changed your international. Can you hear the English version of your audio? Because we have a translation here. Dear brother, I'm just trying to confirm from you.
Near the close of our Lord's ministry,
Brother
the
George,
apostles asked our
can you
Lord,
hear me?
What shall be the sign of thy presence?
Oh no. Okay. I'm not getting you, dear brother. Okay.
Please read Matthew 24, verse 3.
Matthew 24, verse 3 reads, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Over.
During the ministry of our Lord, he made a wonderful promise to his disciples. Please read John 14, verse 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 3.
Okay. John 14, verse 3 reads, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank you.
Our Lord has kept his promise and is now receiving his bride unto himself. At the time of our Lord's resurrection as recorded in Matthew 28, verse 18. Our Lord was given all power in heaven and in earth. It was not time then to establish God's kingdom, even though our Lord had that power. The time to establish the kingdom is at the second advent. In Acts 3, verses 19 to 21, we read concerning this time of restitution when the kingdom would be established.
I read Acts 3, 19 to 21. Okay. It says, "Repent therefore, repent ye therefore." I'm going to read slower. I'm sorry, Brother Amir. I forgot. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Thank you so much.
At the time that Adam disobeyed, God turned his back upon the human race. After 6,000 years, it came time for Jehovah's face or favor to be turned toward mankind. The Heavenly Father turned his face or favor toward mankind by the sending of his dear Son to earth, this time as a divine spirit being. Six thousand years passed before it was time for restitution to begin. The word restitution means restoration. Jehovah's favor then was restored to the human race. The God of the second evil world, as you see on the chart of the ages, is the adversary, the devil, the father of lies. At the time that our Lord returned, he began the work of binding the father of lies, that old devil. Please read Mark 3, verse 27.
Mark 3, verse 27 reads, it reads, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except if he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Thank you.
This is a parable. In a parable, the thing said is not the thing meant. The one man represents our Lord, and the strong man represents the adversary. Our Lord has begun the work of binding the adversary, and this results in much trouble. Again, look at the chart, and you notice that the adversary will be fully bound at the time that the second evil world comes to a full end. Satan will be fully bound during the second part of the Messianic or Millennial Age. It is during the second part of the Millennial Age that Adamic death will be destroyed. At the end of this 1,000 years of our Lord's presence, Satan will be let loose for a little season to test mankind. And during that time, the father of lies will lead some of restored mankind astray. In that little season, mankind will not be deceived, but some will be led astray. Those who are led astray with the adversary will die the second death. Please read Hebrews 2, verse 14.
Hebrews 2, verse 14. Again, dear brethren, if you would like to read, it's okay, you can open it. You can raise your hand and you'll be permitted. Okay, Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. Thank you so much.
At the time of our Lord's return, the seventh messenger to the church began sounding the seventh trumpet. The message was that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. The prophet Daniel in chapter 2, verse 44, reminds the reader that in the days of the kings that were in power before 1914, that the God of heaven would set up a kingdom. Please read Daniel 2:44. Excuse me, Daniel 12, verse 44. No, I'm sorry. I had it right the first time. Daniel 2:44.
Okay, Daniel 2:44. It reads, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Thank you.
Daniel 12 is the one that speaks of the time when Michael, that is our Lord, would begin his reign. There was a lease given to the Gentile kingdoms. This lease began at the time that King Zedekiah was overthrown. Babylon took over, and the times of the Gentiles began. Concerning this lease to the Gentiles, please read Luke chapter 21, verse 24. That's Luke 21, verse 24.
Okay, Luke 21:24 reads, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Over.
This lease was a period of seven times. The Jewish year was 360 days in a year, so 360 times seven equals 2520 years. If we subtract 606 from 2520, we arrive at the date 1914 AD. When the lease to the Gentiles expired, the spasms of trouble began. The Apostle Paul tells about these spasms in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, which please read. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3.
Yes, 1 Thessalonians 5:3 reads, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape." Over.
It has taken much longer to dispose these kingdoms of the world than was at first expected. These spasms of trouble or war, revolution, and anarchy. These spasms of trouble are referred to in 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. Please read 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12.
First Kings 19, 11 and 12 reads, 11 and 12. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break into pieces the rocks before the Lord." But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Over.
At the end of total anarchy, the world will hear the voice of peace from our dear Redeemer. That will be a wonderful time when this great time of trouble is terminated. Yes, in due time, righteousness will begin to prevail. However, we're still in part one of the millennial age when these spasms of trouble are taking place. We are far down into the time of anarchy, but the anarchy is increasing daily. Anarchy is still being held in check because a few of the saints are still here. It is not until all of the saints have been sealed that the four winds will be let loose. Total anarchy will be the result. And then, at the end of anarchy, as we have seen, there will be peace on earth. Please read Revelation 7, verse 3.
Revelation 7, verse 3 reads, "Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." In their foreheads. Thank you, Baba.
Not only is the adversary causing much trouble as he is gradually being bound, but the fallen angels who have become demons are responsible for much of the trouble in the world today. At the time of the flood, the fallen angels were put in prison, in chains of darkness in Earth's atmosphere. They were not permitted to materialize such as they had been doing. When did the judgment day begin? The judgment day is the period of the 1,000-year presence of our Lord. Thus, the judgment day began when our Lord returned. It was then that the fallen angels were given a measure of liberty for their judging. However, since 1914, that liberty has increased. This explains why there is now a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Why have these fallen angels been given a measure of liberty for their judging? This is God's plan. And it is God's plan for the saints selected during the gospel age, the more than overcomers, to be the judges. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, wrote, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge angels?" Please read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 reads, "Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain of this life?" Over.
Before the flood, there was much violence in the earth. Today, especially since 1914, there is much evil and trouble all over the world. Because of this, the Christian soldier needs the whole armor of God. Please read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. It reads, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Over.
This spiritual wickedness in high places is referring to the angels who have become demons, the wicked spirits. It is because of this that the Christian soldier needs the whole armor of God. We need the shield of faith. We need the helmet of salvation. It is necessary for us to have much faith, and it's necessary for us all also to have this helmet of salvation, an understanding of God's plan. Now look at the chart of the ages again, to the beginning of the third dispensation, which is also the beginning of the millennial age. It is during this part one of the millennial age that the old order is being removed, as we have just seen, causing much trouble. But at the same time, the spiritual phase of the kingdom is gradually being set up. Please read Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 21, 1 and 2.
Okay, Revelation 21, 1 and 2. It reads, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Over.
The Heavenly Father then has sent his king with the kingdom, and the spiritual phase is gradually being set up. We must continue to pray for this incoming kingdom and for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we have noted, this spiritual kingdom is the holy city, the new Jerusalem that is coming into control at the present time. When will this spiritual phase of the kingdom be fully set up? It will be set up after all of the consecrated have finished their earthly course in death. It will include those who consecrated, but who eventually overcome and will be members of the great company. It is the dead in Christ, though, that have been resurrected, and we feet members do not have to sleep, but immediately are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Please read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It reads, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Over.
As shown on plane L on the chart, our returned Lord and the resurrected saints are shown as doing harvest work and kingdom work. The saints on this side of the veil are not yet resurrected, but nevertheless, we are to do kingdom work. Why are we still here? Why are the feet members still here in the flesh? It's because we have a work to do, as we read in Isaiah 52, verse 7. Please read. Isaiah 52, verse 7.
Okay, Isaiah 52, verse 7. It reads, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, thy God reigns." Over.
The prophet Isaiah also reminds us that we are to proclaim the good tidings. We're to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And also the feet members are to declare the day of vengeance. The world knows about the day of vengeance, but our mission is to tell the meek, to inform the meek of the significance of these troublous events, and especially of the glorious outcome. This kingdom work is laborious, but joyous. But beyond the veil, the saints are doing this kingdom work without laborious efforts, as we read in Revelation 14, verse 13. Please read Revelation 14, 13.
Okay, Revelation 14, 13 reads. 14, 13. It reads, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Ye saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Over.
Down through the gospel age, the saints, upon finishing their earthly course in death, are said to have been asleep. However, now it's not necessary for the feet members to sleep at the time of their death, but immediately are resurrected. It is necessary for all of the feet members to die, however, as we read in Psalm 82, verses 6 and 7. Please read Psalm 82, 6 and 7.
Okay, Psalm 82, verses 6 and 7, it reads, "I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes." Over.
Who are these princes? These princes refer to Prince Adam, who sinned willfully, and to Prince Jesus, who willingly did the Father's will. We wish to die like Prince Jesus. We delight to do the will of God, just as the dear Redeemer did. And thus it is that this kingdom work will continue beyond the veil without the laborious efforts. Now, after the last members of the little flock have finished their earthly course in death, we believe, as we've already referred to the scripture in Revelation 7, that total anarchy will begin. It's our understanding that there will still be a few of the great company here on the earth at the time the saints, the little flock, have finished their earthly course. Those of the great company alive at that time will go through the first part of total anarchy. They will wash their robes and make them clean in the blood of the Lamb. However, I have reason to believe that this total anarchy will have to be short, because our Lord promised, as recorded in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, that if these days were not cut short, all flesh would die. Please read Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22.
Okay, Matthew 24:21-22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Over.
At the present time, the world's population, the living world, is spoken of as being more than 8 billion people. A lot of people have been born since the Divine Plan of the Ages was originally published in 1886. In 1886, the population of the world was less than 1.5 billion. Now it's over 8 billion. I believe that billions of people will not have to actually go into the grave, but will be alive at the time that our Lord will say, "Peace, be still." And in the course of time, those who have died will be awakened from death. Why? Well, our Lord was given the keys to the prison house, the keys of death and Hades, mistranslated hell. So when the trouble is stopped, our Lord will use the key of death to unlock the prisoners in the prison yard that we call alive but dead from God's standpoint. Then in the course of time, our Lord will use the key of Hades and gradually, in an orderly way, the dead, those who are actually dead, will come forth. So let us rejoice that the time will come when righteousness will prevail. And at that time, then the earthly phase of God's kingdom will begin its work. Now we have been taught from the scriptures that the kingdom of God consists of two phases, heavenly and earthly. Again, we emphasize that in part one of the thousand-year kingdom period, the spiritual phase is gradually being set up. And then we'll begin the work of establishing the earthly phase of the kingdom. But meanwhile, before the earthly phase of the kingdom begins its operation, there's going to be a marriage in heaven. It'll be a marriage such as earth has never known. Who will be at this marriage? Who will officiate? Well, the one who will officiate is the one who invited us to be a member of his family. He is the one who begat us after consecration with the word of truth. It is he, by Christ, who will resurrect us from the dead. And so at this marriage, the bride will be united with the bridegroom. A wonderful occasion. Now, those who started for the marriage were careless along the way and didn't arrive in time for the marriage, but they do arrive in time for the marriage supper. They will come rejoicing, though. They will not be on the throne, but rather they will serve before the throne. And then there's going to be a wonderful general assembly of the Church of the Firstborn. At that general assembly, we read about it, the words of Paul in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 24. So please read Hebrews 12, 22 through 24.
Okay, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24 reads, "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, this that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Thank you so much.
What does one have to do before he can be at that wonderful convention? During the gospel age, the host of this convention, our Heavenly Father, has been drawing some of the human family to accept his dear Son, the dear Redeemer. Some who have accepted the dear Redeemer have then endeavored to clean up from the filthy habits. And if they do so in the course of time, now especially if there's an opening, they may be invited to go to that general assembly, that wonderful convention. But you know, many who receive that invitation don't want to leave their country. They don't want to go to another country. They're satisfied to live here upon the earth. So they turn down the invitation. But eventually, the number will be found. The number of this divine family will be 144,000 plus our Lord and plus the host of this convention. Our Lord will be the chairman at this general assembly. A wonderful occasion. But now, after being invited to go to this convention, what must one do? Well, he must accept the invitation, and he finds out that the cost to go to that convention will be everything that he has. He must give his all in full consecration. He can't hold back anything. It all must be given to the Father. But you know, the Father is so generous. He gives it all back to us. And then he asks us to use what we have given to him that he gives back to us in his service. But you know, some are selfish and they hold back. And thus, they're not developing love as soon as they should. But a few develop this love. They continue to use what they have been given back by the Father in declaring the message of the kingdom. And so these are the ones who will be the bride of Christ. But the others who hold back for a time eventually overcome, and they then will be at this wonderful convention, the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn. Now, the Church of the Firstborn, as we have just emphasized, will be composed of not only the little flock, but also the great company. And there's also going to be an innumerable company of angels at that convention. Do you want to be there? Well, it means you have to leave your country. You have to leave this world, because that kingdom, that general assembly, is going to be in heaven. But nevertheless, it will have a sufficient number. The church of the firstborn then will consist of, again we repeat, the little flock and the great company, and also a large number of holy angels. Now, at that convention, I'm suggesting that there'll probably be a wonderful program. As we've seen, the host, the arranger of this convention is the Heavenly Father, and he has used his son to be the chairman at this convention. And there's going to be a platform, I would suggest. Now, this is all just a suggestion because the scriptures don't tell us, but I think that there'll be a stage there with the 12 apostles there giving their talks, and probably the seven messengers. And then there's going to be a time of testimonies from those witnessing what the apostles are saying. And it's going to take a long time for all of this to be accomplished. But then those attending will have the opportunity to share their experiences one with another. So we're looking forward. We're making preparations to go to that convention. But first, we have a work to do here upon the earth. Remember, we emphasize that we must declare the glad tidings. We must tell the meek the significance of these troublous events and of the time to come when there will be peace on earth. Now, coming to the main reason for us selecting this title, The Vision of the Kingdom, let us now turn to Matthew again and read what our Lord said as recorded in Matthew chapter 16, and read beginning with, excuse me, Matthew 17. We've already read Matthew 16, 28, but read Matthew 17, verses 1 through 4. Please read Matthew 16, 1 through 4.
Matthew 16, 1 through 4. Okay. Here we go. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, I will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather. Okay, I don't know how these things mean. It will be fall weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Over.
And also please read verse 5. Matthew 16, verse 5.
Okay. And when his disciples...
Excuse me, Matthew 17, verse 5.
Okay. Matthew 17, verse 5, it reads, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear ye him. Over.
One day Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he said, Some of you standing here shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. Then the next day, the 6 days began to count. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain. He was transfigured before them. Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah in this vision. Now, it was a vision. Moses and Elijah were still dead. They will be awakened. They will be resurrected in due time and will be made princes in the earthly phase of the kingdom. But what Peter, James, and John saw was just a vision with Jesus at the head of this kingdom, God's only begotten Son, his beloved Son. And so, after 6 days, these three apostles saw the kingdom by vision. Now, there's another account, though, that speaks about 8 days. And to read that, let's read Luke 9, 27 through 35. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 27 through 35.
Okay, Luke 9, verses 27 through 35, it reads, "But I tell you of the truth, that there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an eight days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men with which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make there three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Over.
How do we harmonize these two accounts? One says 6 days and the other 8 days. Both accounts are correct. They're in harmony. In the one case, Jesus one day spoke to his disciples. Then we add the 1, 2, 6, 7. And then the kingdom would be the eighth day. In the other account, we just have a mention that 6 days would pass and then the kingdom. Now, don't misunderstand this about the eighth day. The millennial age is not the eighth day. The millennial age is the kingdom. You see, 6,000 years of the reign of sin and death before Jesus was sent with the kingdom. So the rest day of Jehovah is 7,000 years, seven 1,000 year days. And so this is in complete harmony then with the vision of the kingdom. Moses would represent those who had faith before the first advent. Many of these lived in the Jewish age, but the ones with faith lived all the time from Abel down to and including John the Baptist. So this represented by Moses would be the earthly phase of the kingdom. Those with faith will be made princes in the earthly phase of the kingdom. And Elijah would picture those selected during the gospel age, the consecrated, those who are more than overcomers, those who will be the body members of Christ. And so these are the ones who will mainly constitute the spiritual phase of the kingdom, as we have seen. These are the ones who will receive immortality. These were pictured then by Elijah. And then following the death of Elijah, Elisha did restitution work. And how wonderful that will be after the spiritual phase of the kingdom has been set up, the work of the Elijah class has been done, then the earthly phase of the kingdom will be in operation. All the families of the earth will be blessed at that time. So what a wonderful vision that Peter, James, and John saw with Jesus at the head. He is the head of the church, which is his body, and Jehovah is the head of Christ. May you be blessed as you consider this wonderful vision of the kingdom, this kingdom with its two parts, this kingdom that is now being set up by our returned Lord, who has returned with power to establish this kingdom with its two parts. May you be blessed as you consider the fact that the New Jerusalem, the holy city, is gradually coming down from God out of heaven. And may we pray for the time when we hope it is soon, anarchy will be terminated and righteousness will begin to prevail. So please, brethren, continue to pray for the incoming kingdom. Thank you. May God bless you. Over to you, Brother Miro.